All right, we're going to get started. This is Homeschooling for Him. This is part two, Be Warm and Be Filled, and these are the practical aspects of homeschooling for him. This is lesson five, and it is Love Covers. Okay, Love Covers. Let's go ahead and pray, ladies. Lord, we just thank you so much for this morning. We thank you for your blessings. Oh, Lord, we love you so much. We love your word. We thank you that you are guiding us. We thank you that you are changing us from inside out. We thank you that you're changing our families, Lord. We thank you that you're giving us a new hunger and love for you. Lord, help us to walk as you, that others that see us, our family especially, will know that they're in the presence of God because we hold you deep into our hearts. Lord, we love you. Bless our time this morning. Help us to learn your word about love, and let us be that people know us by our love. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, ladies, I think I said it in a class before, but I'm going to say it again. Rules without relationship equals rebellion. You'll see it twice in here. The Israelites, if everybody remembers the Israelites, they were rebellious. But Moses and Joshua were not. And why is that? Also, there are many, many religions, and there's many religious people, but many of those people live in deep sin. So why is that? The reason is Moses and Joshua had a relationship with God. Out of all of those who walked with it, they were really the only ones. Even Aaron sort of had one, and he sort of was rebellious. When they wanted the golden calf, he was ready to give in to that. But Moses met with God, and that's what gave him that ability to continue on. He met with him for the 40 years. That's where he got to know him, in those desert years. And of course, we all go through there. Thank God they're not 40 years, but they feel like 40 years. But and also Joshua. Remember when Joshua was, all the Israelites came up to be by God, but they were so fearful of him that they pulled away. And so they said, you go and talk to him and ask him and intercede for us. And you know what and it's never entered into my mind, but I was preparing this last night. It reminds me of people who always ask you to pray for them. Now, I am very much for, would you pray for this or whatever? But there are some that really are not seeking God themselves, but they try and incorporate everybody. And I just believe that they want to hear from them. And so it's good to say, I'll pray for you, but have you prayed about it? How much are you seeking God for yourself and for your situation? He wants to hear from you. And so, because we want them to be. If not, they're going to fall into rebellion too, because if they don't have a strong relationship, your holding them up isn't going to do. But clearly, sometimes we're in that place that we need to be lifted up. We need to be prayed for and held up. And so we just need to have a balance. But have discernment. If you see that person that's just demanding and you know, constantly trying to incorporate, you know, it's only your prayers is all that's necessary. But yet we do believe in a lot of people praying and lifting up Bonnie, for instance. So we want to remember that. But anyway, the relationship was love, the love relationship that they had. And so when they didn't have that, they began to murmur and complain and things like that. Well, you know what, ladies? It's a picture for us. When we have children that are murmuring and complaining, maybe we need to think, do they have enough love from us? Have they felt that love? And love is not permissiveness. Love is love. It's spending time, looking into their eyes, the touch. We'll talk all about that, but that's what love is. And so the best thing that you can do is to build a foundation of love between your children. And if you started at a baby and you were a lot of touching, nursing, holding, not what they're teaching today, not what the, quote, experts are saying, let them comfort themselves, let them find their own little blanket, let them find their thumb, not to, you know, pacifiers and things like that. The pacifying is the touch, the holding. That's what they yearn for. But if you didn't do that, that's okay. Wherever they are, no matter how old they are, even if they're grown, all of these things will apply just a little bit differently. And if you're not sure, I mean, I can help you and talk to you or whatever, but seek God. Ask for an opportunity. Show me what I need to do. And that is what's going to do it, because he knows. He knows where they're hungry. He knows where they need to be nurtured. And even if they're grown and even out of the house, it's possible. I don't know that anybody here has anybody out of the house. But if you do, or you know a woman who does, it's too late. It's never too late. We're all children, and we all accept love, you know, from our parents and things. So the first thing I want to say is love your child. Love your child. Just recently, in the last year, I lost my mother. And she was a mother of seven children, just like I'm a mother of seven children. And she adored her children as much as I adore my children. And most of what I got in that was from her example. That's really where I based it. You know, some of my learning about marriage came the hard way. I didn't learn it from my mother, and actually I did learn it from my mother, and that's why I had to learn it the hard way, because she wasn't, you know, she didn't have a good, she didn't understand about marriage and things, but she did understand about children in the fact of loving. And I will tell you, she couldn't keep a house. She wasn't that good of a wife. She wasn't a bad wife, but she wasn't that good of a wife. She couldn't keep a house. She couldn't cook. So many things she couldn't do. But let me just tell you something, ladies. She knew how to love. And God says that love never fails. Love covers a multitude of sins. I'm going to tell you, because she was able to do that, I have six brothers and sisters. They all loved my mother all their life. None of them, not one, really got into anything major. And we lived in Hollywood. Explain that. She was not a Christian. She was a Catholic. And all of that, and yet they succeeded. They were independent but loving. She wasn't good about siblings. She didn't understand about how to do that because she was an only child. My father was an only child. And so they didn't understand about how to not compare and jealousy and things like that. But even still, all of us are all, you know, I mean, when you see so many families, I'm going to tell you, how did she do it? It was love. Clearly, there, without a doubt. And so I will just tell you, if you can learn not just how to love your children, and I think all parents really do love their children, but if they don't correct them or if they just don't do things, I mean, if the child doesn't feel loved, it's not worth it, you know? So many parents say, I love, you know, or whatever. And they don't. You can tell by their attitude. You can tell by their response to them. They can tell by the way they look at their children, their exasperation, that they're speaking volumes. I don't really care about you. Or they don't have time for their child. If you really loved, you'd spend time. And so your children need to know that you love them. And I want to tell you something that my mom talked to me, because she knew that I had an influence and I was doing different things. But she said, please, please, please. I mean, she actually went into tears because she would see so many mothers that didn't even know how to love their children, and it broke her heart. She was the type, if she was in this class, and she was in the early days of the ministry, she would be in my class. She would mother every woman there. They were all her children, you know, and she would always be doing things and hugging them and telling them to do this, and, you know, I mean, she was just a mother. And so, but when she'd see these little children who were not loved and cared for or reprimanded or pushed away or shamed or threatened, it would break her heart. She just couldn't handle that. And she started to see a lot more of it because she started taking the bus later on. She couldn't drive. And so she started taking the public transportation so she'd see poverty, maybe single parents or whatever, and the way that they responded to their children and threatening them. And she said one time she was sitting there and she just started crying. She said, you know, the child wasn't behaving. And so she said, if you don't come and sit down here, I'm going to get that black man to come over here and take you. You know, and you just go, ah, you know. But obviously that young girl or woman had been dealt with in the same way. One time that my husband and I had, when I brought it to his attention, and you know what, now I'm bringing this to your attention, you're going to see it. You're going to see it here in the church. Believe it or not, maybe not as bad, but you'll see it here in the church. You'll see it when you go to grocery stores. Don't we see that in grocery stores? And we hear this battling going on. And but she would see this kind of thing, and she would just break down. Well, I mentioned it to my husband when I came back and talked to her, what my mom had said. And so one day he was in a department store, a nice department store, and she said, come over here, and he wouldn't come, and he said, come over here, I'm going to buy you something. So he wandered over, you know, it's probably about 4 or 5, this is my husband's son, and he, when she got within reach, you know, she grabbed him and said, I'm not going to buy you anything, you are bad, you're just like your father, you're bad, and he's going, what is this kid going to grow up with, that kind of stuff, you know. And this is in public too, and so you have to wonder what's going on in private, and it's just horrendous. But we can be examples, we can be lights, we can be reaching out to others and help them to understand, because it's something that they probably either had done to them, or when they were faced with it, they had no preparation. And so some of you, and I'm sure you're not like this, this is homeschool moms, this is a little different, but to see the horrendousness, and then we can just keep moving more and more as God would have it. So it was like that. Even in my own family, I had a niece that came to visit, and she was just a baby. And because she had almost lost her, I think she kind of rejected, I'm not one on psychology and weird thing, but it's almost like she was afraid to get close to her. But this little baby would not be held. They had to hold her out, facing away, and always like that. And it broke my heart. I mean, this was a sweet little girl. And so they stayed with us for a week. And slowly, slowly, I continued to touch her and hug her and things like that. And within, like, the last 2 days that she was there, she was just holding on to me. She put her head down on me and do like that. And they were like, I can't believe that. She didn't do it with us. And she wouldn't do it with them either. But she constantly had her facing away, constantly putting her in things, constantly putting a pacifier. She did nurse her, but as soon as she could get, she got rid of her. She wouldn't let her stay, you know, and things. I had another friend who, she just didn't like that. And maybe it was her past. Maybe she was really hurt as a child. I don't know. You know, I don't want to judge her and why she was like that. But she would be nursing. As soon as she could, she'd stick a pacifier and hold it like that. But these kids were sucking their thumbs well into elementary school. All of them had terrible teeth. I'm a teeth person, and they all had terrible teeth from that. And it was just like they didn't get what they needed. You know, I don't want just good milk. She was into health food. I don't want just good milk. I want you. I want touch. I want to feel. And so if we put that into our children, then they can do more for God's kingdom. They'll know God's love. And that's what it's all about. To not doubt God's love. So many, if you work an altar call or if you're up here in baptism, you have no ideas. Most of these are children in their spirit, certainly they're just born again, you know, but they're just infants in there, and they need hugs and loving, and they're just hungry for somebody to really care and to think, you really care about me? They're hungry for it. And so what can they give to their children if they haven't gotten it? But we don't want to send our children out that way. Needy, you know, just hungry for things. That's how some of the relationships break up. They're so needy. And a lot of women realize that. You know, the women I deal with, their husbands have left because they were so needy with their husbands, so demanding. They needed this, and he was supposed to do this. And because he wasn't doing this, they weren't happy. And then all of a sudden, they don't have anything. They don't have anybody. And so we say, only you can get that from God. And that really is what it's all about. I mean, you'll never be able to be everything to your children. But what we do is say, here's safe, here's good. You're not going to make them, they're having struggles and stuff in their life. But our thing is like, you know where I get mine? It's not from your dad, you know, though he's very loving, you know, or if he's not, it's okay. Because I get all I need from God. And then I can give to your dad who's had a hard childhood and be understanding like that way. And then I give it to you, but you really need to learn the source that I get it, because I don't want to always be there. And so you need to get that. And you may need to get enough for you and your spouse, and certainly enough to give to your children. And so we need to, but we can't do anything unless we know it. You know, we can't say anything. And also it's about unconditional love. And we've heard a lot about that recently, or I have. People keep bringing it up about unconditional love. And that is, I love you no matter what. No, I don't love the sin. God's people, he loves them no matter how they are. He punishes them. He doesn't condone it. He doesn't encourage it. But he says, no matter what you do, that's what that prodigal. I had a woman that came up, and she says, you know that part about the prodigal, somebody are? What is that all about? Why is that that's being said to me? And I said, I don't really know. Well, as soon as that, God gave me an understanding. I said, I don't know if this is it, but this, let me say. Do you really know that God loves you no matter what? Do you have things in your past, or maybe you feel like you didn't measure up? Tears, her eyes started to well and going like that. Well, that's what it was. She was a good person, and she never, because she wasn't a wayward. She's always been in church, but she never felt worthy to be there. She never thought that she was good enough to do that. You know, she never did go away, but she didn't feel that God loved her enough to give his coat to her, his ring on her finger, you know, to do the fatted calf, you know? And so You just don't know. And that's all what you need to know, is to make sure that your children know. Do you know how much that I love you, you know? And make sure that they know, no matter what their age, make sure that they know. And if you've been judgmental, if you've been too busy, you know, that's okay. That can be in the past. Repent of it. Say you're sorry for it. You know, you will gain respect from your children while you're humble. And it doesn't mean beat yourself up and don't come down to their level or don't demean yourself or whatever. You know, be discreet in what you say, but be open. I mess up. I really messed up in this. Or I haven't been there. You know, I was listening to this class or I was reading my Bible, and I feel like, you know, maybe you don't know that because I've been this way or that way, or I've never done this or whatever. And let them talk. And children are so forgiving. We need to learn to be forgiving like they are. Well, again, I'm going to say rules without relationship equals rebellion. In 1 John 4:19, it says, we love because he first loved us. That's what it's all about. We've heard, and if you've ever worked in pro-life or in, you know, with that, you know, children that are abused or whatever, and the thing is that a lot of them go ahead and have a baby because they want love from that baby that they didn't get from the person who got them pregnant, and so they're looking for love, but you're not going to get love from that child. You're going to get, I want love, and then they don't have any, and that child doesn't have any, and so that's it creates a terrible cycle. But if somebody loves them first and says, I know where you can get an ample supply, and then they can start putting love into their child, they will get love back. But that's what it is. There's a cycle there, and that's exactly what it is. We need to seek God to get ours, and then we need to teach that in our children. And love is what motivates obedience. I used to wonder, how is it that children are motivated? I wanted to know, because my parents were very permissive, too permissive in some things, but yet we didn't do it. You know, we didn't have curfew or bedtimes, but we did it. Why? Why was that? Because we knew that they loved us unconditionally. And we didn't want to hurt our parents. It was the fear of hurting them or shaming them that kept us from doing things that we were tempted to do and what was all around us. We didn't do it. My one brother used to hang out with kids that went to jail all the time. It was prank stuff because my brother's quite a bit older, so it wasn't as bad as it would be for now, you know. They probably wouldn't even be arrested for that kind of stuff, but they would go to jail for stuff like that. And he said, you know, I just never, you know, I couldn't do that. I mean, if my parent, I mean, it would crush them. And they cared because the caring first came. We think you're wonderful. And you could tell that. You could just tell it. My mom thought we were the absolute most wonderful thing. She actually closed her eyes to our weaknesses, which I have not done with mine. I know you have this weakness. We're going to get out of this, you know, but I don't encourage that. And she tended to do that, but still it worked. It really worked. The other thing is that when we show obedience to our Father, because we love him, isn't it? The more you grow in love with the Lord, the more you want to do what pleases him. Isn't that what it's all about? And so as we begin to do that, we are going to show the example, plus we're going to encourage them to do that. They'll do it with us, and it will just transform over to doing it for the Lord. That you won't have to, in high school or college, to tell them this or this or this. They're going to try and restrain themselves. They're going to think that there's a higher call, there's a higher demands, there's a higher restriction than what mom and dad do, you know, and ask us. But that even more, he's calling me to higher. He's calling me to more of that. I choose to not listen to even this kind of music anymore, or I choose to not hang around with these people where maybe you didn't even know that they were like that. But they'll start to restrain themselves as they see that there's somebody who loves them even more than you do because you've showed that. And so I used to wonder, why is it that there were some really godly people, pastors' children and things like that, that went astray? You knew that they were the parents loved them, and the parents, but why is it? And I really believe that not that those parents didn't love them, I'm sure that they do, but they didn't show that love. They believed in a lot of rules and very little relationship. And the thing is that you can have the rules and give them the guidelines and give them the boundaries of this is what we don't do. But the only way to enforce that in any age, in any situation, is with love. Why do we do what we do here? There's no rules that say we have to be in church at this time or this time. We don't have to be at every service. So if we're members here, we're supposed to be, but they don't check if we are or not. We want to do them because we love the church. We love our pastor. We want to do things that please him. You know, why does he have all these volunteers? Why is everybody because of our love for him, the church, you know, his family and all of that. It's motivated by love. Even in my situation with dealing with women whose husbands are divorcing and you know, suing them for divorce and things like that, and child custody and support and alimony and all that, the thing is this, forget the courts. You could put all the rules. We just went to a thing about unwed mothers, and they said that out of when they go to court, out of all of this is what the feminists movement has done to destroy women, is that out of all the women that go in, only a third are awarded anything. Anything. If they have a job that's there, the husband doesn't have to pay at all, and she's going to support and go into poverty because it's not, you know, she's never going to make as much as if she had. It's just the way that it is. So one third are awarded it, meaning on the paper it says this is how much you get. And out of those one third, only half ever get anything. Not what is supposed to be. And the thing is that if they don't want to pay, they'll go to another state. You can do as hard a laws, and we can just sit there and push for more and more laws, but I'm going to tell you something. It's all a matter of a heart issue. The reason that Moses allowed divorce was because of hardness of the heart. And so you can sit there and do it, but the more rules you have, the more hardening the heart. And so I tell women, you don't want it. You want your husband to pay. You want him to continue to support you at before and while you're hopefully having your marriage restored, be kind, be loving, say whatever. I trust you. I know that you'll do well for us. Even if he's saying something else. You know what? You hear words like that and you start to think, yeah, I will. Yeah, you're right. I am a fair person. I am a fair person. Words can do a lot. Attitude, grateful attitude. But you can go to court all day long. You can keep bringing them back into court. I've been through it. I've seen women that have said, you know, I'm sorry, I'm not doing it. And they bring him into court, and they are awarded that. Then he doesn't pay. Then the next thing you know is that they've got him back in court. And then the next thing is he's left the state. And the next thing, he kidnaps the child. That's what's happening. You look at those abductions and see how many are parental. I mean, that's their child, too. I mean, we think, isn't that terrible? But you know what? I mean, for gosh sakes, that really is their child. Would you want to give up your child? Do you think the father? Thank God that he cares. But some of it's just because they're trying to do it in spite, and that's a horrible thing too. But you know what? This is not stronger laws, stronger this and that, more ways to find them through that. If they have a way to try and find them, they're going to find ways to not do it. It's only if they want to do it from the heart. So this, everything's a heart attitude, and that's what we need to be thinking about when dealing with our children. If they love us, they know that they love us, we are caring, we're giving, we bless them. We keep them in line so that they can, you know, because they get so full of themselves and so full of sin, and we don't want them to be ugly and like that. How many have had children and they are just so, so naughty, and you've just neglected to give them a little switch or a spanking or a paddle or whatever you do, corporal punishment, and you haven't done that, and finally you go, oh, I'm just going to go, and you do it, and they're like, that's what I needed. I'm just so happy. Oh, I'm so happy. I love you, Mommy. I just drew this picture of you, you know. And it's hugs and kisses, and how do you say I love you? And they're just like, thank you, thank you, thank you. I needed that. And we need that from our Father. And so that is one of the things that happens with them. So it's not about being permissive or anything like that, so don't get wrong and don't get out of balance. But let me just tell you, most of us are out of balance all the time, okay? So we need to try and always be thinking, are we giving enough love, or are we giving not too much love, but we're leaning into permissiveness? Okay, or building up their self-esteem or pride or arrogance. If we're going too far, then you better balance it out with some good, swift spankings and things like that and get that attitude in line, okay? Or are you just always on them, and spanking them and this and that, and they're always in trouble, and it's just like, man, I just want to, you know, I can't stand this anymore, and they're out, and they just get worse and worse and worse. Then they need to have love. So probably you're not way out here, but you're in here, and always is just, you know, and how do you know when you're getting out? Well, it shows up. You know, what's their attitude? attitude is the heart. It's showing what's, it's a reflection of what's in the heart. The mouth is a reflection of the heart. But it's not the words, it's how it's said, isn't it? You can say the same thing, but it's the attitude or whatever, okay? So we're not going to get into a lot of discipline, but it says, what is love? You know, what is love? And we're told what love is in books and on movies and all that kind of stuff. And that's so far off what it really is. Our media tells us one thing, that God says something else. But we should go to the author of love, and it says the true description is in 1 Corinthians 13, which you all know, and we all know this, you know. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith so as to move mountains, but I do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all my possession to feed the poor, if I deliver my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. Now it tells us, what is that kind of love? Love is patient. It's patience. It's acting out that way. Love is kind, not jealous, does not brag, not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly, does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account wrong suffered. That means remembering all the times they did it before. Does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Believes all things, like believing in them, you know? We do that a lot with our ministry. Believe your husband. He's lying to you. You know he is. Believe him. You're not being stupid. You're not playing a game. You just go, oh, really? You know, I mean, you have no idea how that just turns the heart of them. No, it isn't true. I'm lying. You know, I mean, they just want to, because you believe. You know, it's like a little child. You don't want to continue to lie. You know, all of these principles are so powerful. How can just that one little thing just totally change a whole situation? And it can. And it can happen with your children. Now, if you've got a liar, the worst thing you can do is believe them. Do you know that? That'll just encourage them. Just go, I can't believe you because you lie. And they have to understand that you'll ruin your life if you continue on that. Tell them a little story about the boy who cried wolf and that wasn't trusted or whatever, and get to that. And then when you can tell that they're really serious about it, say, okay, I forget everything that you've ever done. I believe you. And I'm going to believe you, and I'm going to make sure your brothers and sisters and everybody's going to believe you. But don't ever lie again. Don't ever lie again. And I'll always believe you. No matter how hard it is, just tell the truth. And then reward for truth, even if you'd like to spank them for what they told you that they did. Reward the truth. Okay? It's very, very important. And why? Because God hates a liar. It's an abomination to him. It's big time. It's one of the big ones up. They will not enter the kingdom of heaven. This is serious. I don't know how serious it is, but it's enough to scare me. And since we've got it generationally, we've got to work on that. So anyway, so if you have that, or you just have one child who, and you're always been honest and you've got this one bad seed there, then work on him. And you could say, well, you know, Baron can get it out. So anyway, love is a reaction. That's what it is. It's not a feeling that comes and go. It's a reaction or response to what people are doing. And it is an action. We can actually step forward, love them when it is, but it's a reaction. If you can love the unlovable, if you can do that, that's when it's going to really come around. And some of it, you know, some of you have older children and stuff, you know, when you have a real big crisis and you normally would act really harsh or you know, whatever, and you give mercy at that time and you sit down and you listen or whatever, you do something like that, it will gain their attention. And everything in an instant can be broken off. I had a woman who wrote to me and she got the book for her teenage adopted son. And I said, oh, really? You know, is he married? But I read, you know, read on to it, and she said that she began applying those principles to this wayward son who was involved in law, I mean, terrible things. And she said that when she started to read it, she said she didn't even know why God called her, that she and her husband have a good marriage. But she started to read it, and he started convicting her about her relationship with her son. But one of the things was shaming her husband. We talk about don't shame your husbands. Don't tell other people. Don't go to the counselor. Don't go to your friend and tell them. Don't go to your pastor. You think he ever walked in there after you've uncovered his nakedness? You know, as soon as he knows that, he's out of church. And it's not that I don't believe, but another woman who's going to keep their mouth closed or whatever, you've got to find one person that you know is not a gossip. And if she's been sharing prayer requests from other people and getting into details, don't tell her, okay? Just do one person. First, just do it to God, and that would be better if you do it, because he can change the heart and he can do the situation. But anyway, She said in the past when she would have this, they would bring in counselors, they would bring in this person, confront them, all this stuff, and make this big scene in their house. And she got convicted of it. And she went to him and said, I will never do that to you again. I have shamed you. I have brought in. And he just broke down crying. This tough, you know, carrying weapons. I mean, this was a serious thing. And he just melted. And he, you know, he embraced her. And so, and totally the whole thing turned around. And she said, you know, I mean, here I've been doing it in the hard way. And so if you've got that and you see one of those situations, use it. It's a great situation. Anytime you have a crisis, say, what would you like to do really great in it? And it may be your answer to prayer is in that bad thing. So look for that. Anyway, I'm going to get into patience. Okay, that's the first one. If we could just do that one, you know, almost everything would be all right. Patience is in low. I mean, it's hard to find it. And part of the reason it's hard to find because we are so busy. When we use up a lot of it, it's leaking all the time because we're running here and there, and time is short. But it's very low supply, and you see it in public places. And so I always have to wonder, what are they doing in public? They are exasperated with their children. They're having battles in the grocery store or whatever with their children and things. And even when they know that they're being overheard, there's no shame anymore. There's a scripture verse, and I think it's in Isaiah, which says that we don't blush. We don't. We're not embarrassed about anything. It's a lot of our talk shows where we expose dirty laundry on there, and so we all think we need to walk around exposing our dirty laundry to everybody. But it says that in 2 Timothy 2:24, we urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak. Doesn't this sound like helping our children? Doesn't this all kind of fit? Be patient with all men, or all little men, or all little women. Be patient with them. So it's admonish the ruly, encourage the faint-hearted. You know, sometimes they're just discouraged in their work. And as homeschool moms, I want to say something. Sometimes what you have for them, that workbook or that task, is just really too hard for them. You know, even if it's fourth grade level, they don't have to measure up to anything. Some of them, they're going to be above, and some are going to be below. Or maybe your child is one that's all below, but they've got a special heart. And so if it's hard, you know what? Leave it till next year. And you know what? When they come back to it next year, they're going to be able to do it great. I mean, is that... You think about going through school, and if your teacher goes, you know what, really, Aaron, I can tell you're really struggling with this, and so I'll tell you what, you don't have to do it again. Just pick it up next year. See ya. I mean, I'd be like, you love this woman? You know, you would just like, wow, this is so great. And the thing is, you know, you try and potty train them too early, and you can struggle for, you know, a year and a half, and they're going to get it when they would have gotten it anyway. You try and tie their shoes in too soon. You try and ride a bike. But those that are excelling, go with them. Don't hold them back. Go ahead. Go ahead. Those that want to, go on. You know, my son, who is, and he's left-handed, he's writing with his right. I mean, his stuff is so bad. His writing ability is so bad. Well, he's with the wrong hand. But even with his other hand, he doesn't do well. And yet his sister, who's 2 years younger, can do so much better. But it tends to be in girls, doesn't it? And so we need to be patient. So the best thing is for me is not to give him much to write with. You know, be merciful. Give them a chance to do that. Help the weak, you know, encourage the faint-hearted. Just for that day, when you can just see that they just want to cry, or maybe they have started to cry, go, you know what? Go on. Now, we have to be realistic. If every day they're crying about something, you have to really determine, is this something they really can do? Do they have a bent on that? But let's see, but be really honest with yourself, because you might just gain a friend for life, you know? Think about how your husband go, I know she can do this, so I'm just, you know, you got to get the dinner on time or something. And that's just like one of your worst things or something. Wouldn't you like it and just go, I don't care if it's an hour late or 2 hours late every night. I don't even care. Thank God. I just appreciate you making the meal for me. Wouldn't that just encourage you? Wouldn't even like the next day you'd start dinner at 12 noon or something so you'd have it for them, you know? And that's going to happen with your children too. Be caring. And don't just go, okay, never mind or whatever. Use it as a time. Bring them over. Hug them. Say, I understand. You know, and those tears falling is a bonding. You know, if they tear up or something. And maybe they're the type that never will, you know, or never would, but they will then. And so get through that and help them to do. speaking kindly with our children, speaking kindly. I mean, barking out commands or being kind. And I mean, people say, do you always talk like that to your children? And, you know, I do see it around a lot of Christians, very kind. And I pick it up. I can hear. And I pick up the other, too, when it's just like, why? Would you come here? You know, and they're just like, oh, you know, like that. And then they want to make a scene and get everybody on their side. No, you know, and when I see those parents, I'm thinking, you're the problem. You are the problem. That child is acting their age. Why don't you act their age? I mean, you're the acting that age. Act your own age. I mean, I just think they're, what are you causing a scene? Or those that, you know what's killing me? I'm just going to have to say, those that kids are crying and they don't do a darn thing about it. They don't pick up their child. One, it's annoying to me. I don't want to hear it. You can't pick up your child? Give that child to me. I'll walk them around. You know, and it's not to give into it. It's just to like, hug that child. Tell them you love them. Distract them. Say over here, well, look at this. You know, we always did like that. Our thing was, where's the kitty? You know, where's the kitty? I'd start meowing and I go, where's the kitty? And they're looking for a kitty in the, you know, like that. Or if they were into dogs, where's the doggy? And I bark, you know, I'm not going to do it on the tape, but I bark, you know. And then we'd be like this and I go, where did that kitty go? And they're like, I don't know. You know, we'll be in the car. Did you see that? Did you see the deer that just went by? And they're looking out the window. And then they've totally forgotten about everything. And it's much better than wrestling with them and fighting with them and yelling at them and stuff. Just distract them to get them to forget their, you know, help the faint-hearted, encourage the weak. Or is it the other way around? Anyway, do that. Okay, not jealous. Favoritism between, you know, that's one that I will just tell you, the answer is love, loving them that way and teaching them to love their brothers and sisters. This is what you need to do, is show them that brother or sister or something doing it. This is honestly what our children do, and it's just from starting when they're little. Cooper will come in, and he's 7, and he'll come in and say, come here, come look at Macy sleeping. Isn't she so cute? I mean, it's not the father. He's 7 years old, but he just thinks she's so cute because we brought him in and said, look at the baby, isn't she? You know, like that. And so trying to get it. Now, of course, it's going to be much harder with teens, and they kind of regress about that. But I remember our boys fighting over who loved the baby more. I won't say who, but we've had that. We've had that, where they've saying, I love her. And they treat her, you know, and some of them like it's their own child because they love her. And we instilled that in them. It wasn't about, do I love? And the other thing is they have enough of their own. If they didn't get enough of their own, then they'd be desperate for it and they would be jealous about it. And I'm going to tell you about favoritism. Every one of my children are my favorite, and I spoil every one of them. You know, they'll come up, Mom, can I have this coffee thing, you know, and stuff like that. Who wants it? I say, I know who wants it. Who wants it? Well, I do. You can have it. Don't say anything to anybody else. You can have it. And I do that same thing with anybody. Who wants it? I want to just do this for you. Hey, I'm going to stop and get this for you. I'm always trying to just get like that. And when they're little, I always say, you're my favorite. And when the little ones go, you know what? Mom said I'm her favorite. And she's telling it. And the older one's going, you are, you know. And then they're like, they don't go, no, she says that to everybody. Because they're not jerks, you know, because they've been loved. They've been loved. You know, some kids would do that. Mom doesn't say, she just, you know, she didn't even like you, you know, or something. You know, that mean stuff. They do that. I mean, my brother grew up with that. I grew up with that kind of stuff, you know. And I also don't allow them to do stuff to each other. Because I got it from my older brothers and sisters. Damage me, big time, you know. But I've forgiven them all. I'm one of the youngest. They were all cruel to me. But I am very, very, I forgive you all, every one of you, if you ever see this tape. But and I tell by that. But I love them, and they were cruel to me. And my mother would see it, and she'd go, now stop that. That was it, just stop that. But they keep going on, you know. I just go, don't you ever. And if I find out they did it behind closed doors, are you doing this? You better not be doing this because I'm not going to have that. I will not allow that. Do you know I've had these things. Do you know how much I love that one? I love her, you know, and I get into, like, I'm on this, and that one's just like, you know, and nobody's going to treat my child like that, not even you, you know. And I stand up for them because nobody stood up for me, so I'm going to stand up for my children. does not act unbecomingly. Okay, it's that same thing. The ranting and ravings, the scenes. And it's not only in public. You may not do it in public, and you might not do it in church, but if you rant and rave behind closed doors and act like that, and I must confess, this last week with all these things, I was getting into these things like, I just can't do it, you know, and they're like, oh, what is their problem, you know? And so I'm thinking, I don't have enough sleep. And then I had to keep apologizing. I am sorry. What am I acting like that about? You know, so it's like, get yourself away, get some sleep or whatever. You know, how can I teach this when I'm telling you I'm acting like a nut? And I say that, I'm a nut. What's going on? Mom, it's okay. No, it's not okay. What am I doing, you know? Because I've got too many things going. Everything that I'm saying don't do, I'm doing. And I'm like, get me out of this. I can't do so much. And it doesn't matter how lofty or how long, it's just like, you just got to watch. And so I'm really going to watch and start pulling things out. It says, like a city that is broken into and without walls is a man who has no control over his spirit. And also the scripture verse we've shared before, but let it be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God, 1 Peter 3:4. Does not seek its own. I'm not going to go over this too much, but do your own thing. Have your own life. You know, and sometimes, ladies, if you are so self-sacrificing and you don't get proper balance, if you kind of do that and beat yourself down, you're not going to feel, you're going to get to that point where you can't handle it anymore. So don't put yourself in that place. You know, I mean, some of it we do to ourselves and then we want to blame them, but they didn't ask us to do it, but we try and do too much. And it's very difficult. We are born like that. We are born like that. That's intuitive. And if we weren't, the children wouldn't be cared for because it's a very demanding job. But sometimes we can go overboard. So be careful not to go overboard and then blame your family for them not helping you out because maybe you shouldn't be doing that anyway. A good, proper balance. And also to incorporate them. Don't do it all yourself. We're talking about delegating things. Help them to all be needed and wanted, and they will feel a part of things. People are looking for that. So that's why they join cults and groups and stuff, because they want to feel needed. Well, they're very needed at home, and all of our children are very needed at home. We can't live without any one of them. And if one's out, we can feel it. And they need to know that they're cared for and wanted. All of us want to be wanted. Is not provoked. How short is your fuse? You know? I don't think we need to do. A hot-tempered man or mother stirs up strife, but the slow to anger pacifies contention. So you can be the peace in your house. And if your husband's under a stressful job and he's coming home and he's that, you know what? Instead of getting upset when he gets upset, just go, I understand. Or, I know you don't mean to say that. Now that may just really infuriate. Yes, I don't mean to say it. I know, but I know you don't. And if you can just stay like that, eventually it will go away. It will go away. And they'll say, what am I doing, you know? But if you just get hot and they, you know, he gets hot and you come back and blah, 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 like, and give him time to wind down and things like that. And I'll give you a tip about that later on, but I'm running out of time. Hopes all things, bears all things. Oh, boy, we just need to go to God to bear some of the things that we have to bear. That's where it is. He expects us to bear them, but not to bear them alone. So don't bear them alone, and don't put the burden on your husbands. Don't drive your husband away because he comes home from work and now he's bearing your burdens. Give them to the Lord so you're freed up so that you can carry his burdens and then carry his burdens to the Lord. Don't carry them yourself. There's no point in it. We can just lay them down at the cross and go, you know what? I don't know what to do with this, and I don't know how to say anything to him, but here they are, Lord, and I'm just going to put them right here at the cross. Hopes all things. Our hope is in the Lord, and we have his promises. So if we do what God is asking us to do, all of our hope is in the Lord. Keep all your hope in the Lord, not in anybody or anything. Hope in the Lord, and he will complete it, because we know Philippians 1:6 says, for I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. We are changing day to day. Your children are changing day to day. Your husband's changing day to day. And look for the way he's changing. If you accentuate always the bad, he's going to go bad. If you want to accentuate the good, he'll rise to that. The way you speak to your children and the way what you believe in them is what they will be. If you want to, you do that, the same thing with your husband. And begin there. Begin there. If you don't have a good relationship with your husband, build that, and the other will follow. You will gain respect from your children. Your house will be different. He'll be on your side, and it won't be divided. There's just too many marriages that are falling apart. Endures all things. It is very, endurance means it's the long term. And that's homeschooling. It's the long term. We're going all the way with this, you know. And I'm going to continue to mother even after they're out of the house, though you have to wait for them to come to get it. But if you've been good before you send them out, they'll come looking for that. And whenever they pass by or step in, you can mother them, you know. Then you can do that. And you can mother your grandchildren and things like that. And so it's going to change. But these times are precious and they're very, very fleeting. Yet when you're in the midst of it, it's like you are enduring. And it says, he who endures to the end shall be saved. It always goes on. How many of you have nursed forever and you thought, if I just don't want anybody on me again, you know? How many years did I have somebody just suck, 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 you know? And it's just like, don't touch me. But you know what? I don't have one. I haven't had one, you know, for 3 or 4 years. I haven't had a bit. It's weird, you know. I mean, it really did come to an end. But in the midst of it, it thought it would never end. It was 20 years of nursing. It was like almost continuous. And love never fails. That is the reason this is what this is all about. Love never fails. That's a promise. That is a promise. And so whenever you are unsure, okay, this is what I do. Whenever I'm unsure of how to handle a situation, okay, I've sought God. I don't know. What am I going to do? It's love. We were having, and it was just a thing in our office with our older son. It was just like he had taken dumb pills or something. You know, he's so bright. And then all of a sudden he's like, I mean, and he probably just had so many things going, just like we do. But all of a sudden he was just, and I was like, you know, what? And you know what? He was just sitting there, and I came up. And I just came behind him. And he's never been an affectionate. You know, it's not easy with him because in some ways he's uncomfortable with it. But, you know, older ones, if you could, touching their back, rubbing their back, scratching their back, scratching their head, you know, wherever they sort of go, oh, you know, that's it. And even a quick hug or whatever. But if they lean into it, then hold on. And I did that. And you know what? That's all I needed. And all of a sudden, the spark was back up, and he was different. And you know, I said, I just appreciate you so much. Do you know how much we love you? Do you know how wonderful you are? And that's all that he needed. And we were just had neglected it. He's going to be 22, and we just had neglected it. And you know, we're working in a business situation, so we're thinking, you know, we have got to, this employee kind of thing. We can't have this, you know? But instead of being harsh, and you know, I'm sure it would work even if it was an employee. Maybe I wouldn't come up and hug, you know, maybe it was a female one, I would come up and hug or whatever like that. But you know how much it makes you feel good to hear a call, you know, like that? I just got a call from somebody, they said, you know, I just wanted to call and tell you, I love you so much, and I appreciate you so much, and I just feel like you're going through a hard time. And I was. I really was. There were so many things coming at, and so many attacks, and retro, you know, from speaking blessings, and then all this stuff started coming at, you know, the enemy comes in and tries to really get you when you've been effective and stuff, and it was just coming, letters that are typed out, you know, and those kinds of things. I'm like, you know, go away, you know. And I don't even like the nice part. Oh, this is so good, you know. I'm just like, thank you, you know. I just like, you know, I either way, nice or, you know, it's just like, I'm not saying don't anybody talk to me, but, you know, you just get to that point, you know, or just like, but somebody just said that, and, you know, it just, somebody noticed, and you know who it was? God noticed, and I'm sending you somebody, and so be that for somebody today, you know, maybe here, and then make sure you do it with each one of your children. Everyone, make sure that they know that you love them today, and then once you've done giving the love to your children, and do something special for them, you know, unless you've been like really out of whack and you've just been spoiling your kids, okay, then don't do that, but love them, maybe love them enough to discipline them if you've been withholding and they've been acting up, but love your children today, and then when your husband comes home, or maybe if he's at work or something, just let the Lord lead you, and ask him, what should I say, or, you know, because it'll be the right words. I couldn't tell you what to say because what my husband would appreciate and what yours is going to be different. But just do that. You know, and think of ways that you appreciate them. Something special about them. Some way that they've touched your life or whatever. And let's encourage them. Encourage them. Everybody's faint-hearted. Everybody feels weak at different times. So let's do that and really love them. And then let's really get ourselves under control. Let's really make sure that we have the patience that we need. You know, that speaks volume too. We can all act a certain way because it's our choice, but to react is to respond. And what I mean is everybody can respond nice to nice, but responding nice to not nice, or somebody that you'd really rather just kick them or something like that, you know, is that's what's really going to win things. And it can turn the tide in your home. It can turn the tide in your heart. It can turn the tide in everything. And you all slip out of it. We all do. And then we do go, wait a minute, hold on, let me get back to love is, and go over this, or just get back to the Word. What does He say about love? How does He love us? How does He show us that He loves us? You know, seek God. How can I bless them? And let's all do that this week. And let's come back next week, and let's just maybe share how God has really done that. And let's get some testimonies. And if you can write them up, they're really good testimonies to any of it. We really appreciate it. Anyway, let's close in prayer. And make sure you get your handouts before. Let's bow our heads. Lord, help us to love our children, our husbands, our brothers and sisters that are grown now, our parents, Lord. And we want to love them as You loved us. Lord, we need Your loving flow through us, Your love flowing through us, that unconditional love. That's only what's going to accomplish all this. Help us to look to You to fill us, to guide us, to comfort us, and be with us, Lord, today and forever. Amen. Okay, we're just going to do a little bit of practical. This is something that I started many, many years ago. It is so simple, it's so easy, and it's so beneficial. What this is there are 12 envelopes here, and up in the right corner, it just has the month and the year, so it's November 01. And what these are is it has, you know, January through whatever. You start it this month, and then you just write that. And what these are for receipts. I keep these all, you know, with a rubber band. I only have the one out for that month. October is sitting out in front. And whenever I buy anything, I always ask for the receipt. Don't put it in the bag. It's always lost. I always ask for the receipt. I keep it in my purse where I put my purse down. I have a place to put my purse in our bedroom. And so I get those, and I take the receipts out, and I just stick them in. I don't do anything. I just stick them in there. And the benefit of that is for taking back. They're getting much stricter. Even Walmart, that was so easy to take back. Now they keep a list, and after a certain amount of time. And I found, too, also, if you keep the boxes of certain things, like you don't really know, and that's probably your best warranty to do that. And usually they'll let you exchange it or whatever, and we keep the boxes for it. But I keep the receipts. And then when I go back, I just have to remember in what month that it is. And it's usually that month or the time before or whatever. And then keep that in. But this has saved us a lot of money, because if you can't find the receipts or whatever. And I always also try and keep one bag from that particular place. And I have a bag of bags, you know, the handle one, and I stick them in there so that if you bring it back in your bag and you have your receipt, then, you know, that's very good. And then also a lot of times on the receipts, it'll tell you how many days that you have. But a lot of times, especially in places like Sam, they reduce things very quickly. And so I came in and we bought some sweaters. You can't try them on there. So brought some sweaters for my husband, got both size. And in some things he was a large, some things he was a medium. And then I had to exchange them. But when I brought them back, I gained $3 from the ones that I exchanged. And when I bought the other ones back, they were $3 less. So I really made out well. But a lot of times if you reduce them, they'll give you your money back based on this, but they won't do it. Target is one that's very big. If you don't have the receipt, forget it. You're not going to get that price. So this is really helpful. It's so easy. And if I ever do have to go looking for one in there, at that time, I will divide it. We buy most everything at Sam's or Walmart. So if I'm going to go back, it's going to be there. I do like a Sam's really quick, Walmart, and then like that, so that I can look through all that. And then if they do something, then they'll come back with it. So that's my receipts. The next thing I was going to show you are timers. These you can get at Walmart. These are really easy, and these have a magnet, so they go on your refrigerator or they go on your stove. But this is right to the minute. Also, one of the things that has helped me so much is for laundry. This was my neighbor who did this. And our wash, and you have to kind of know your first wash cycle. My first wash cycle is about 40 minutes. So I press in the 40, I bring it with me, or I hang it on me, You know, I used to hang this in a switch around me. I get tired of hanging. I also have to have my phone on me, you know, so I have to have a phone because we do inner, you know, office, and so I always have to have my phone. So I just got, like, off, you know. Then I started carrying a basket around of all these things, but now I'm kind of centrally located. But put the put the time in, and then when 40 minutes comes up, I can hear. Is it still going? If it is still going, I'll just push another 5 minutes or 10 minutes, you know. But it's when that's been sitting there, and then it goes forever, and, you know, it wrinkles or whatever. And also, it makes it, it can take your laundry three loads to take all day, where this should be close to like 3.5 hours, you know, 4 hours at the most if you're doing three loads. But this keeps it going so that I can do it. So this one's good, and then this is the other one that can go on the desk. I don't really care for this one as much as I do like this, and this is the cheapest one. It's like $5. The other thing that I was gonna say is that hangers are so, so cheap. You know, you can get 10 for a dollar or something. And what I do is all my kids have a different colored hanger, so it's easy to put them back. And you have to have enough for what they have in there, and then a few, you know, in the changing. And then they bring them in, and then above where I fold, I have a tension rod that's probably for a shower, I think, that just went up there. I've had different things. They have those carts. They're kind of wobbly, though. If you don't get a really expensive one, they can get really unsturdy and stuff. But wherever you can have, and then I have them always left to right, oldest to youngest, you know. And and my husband has like a green, and then I have those clear kind, you know, that turn either way. I've got those, and my son has that weird green that everybody likes, you know. Anyway, all the way down. They do have, and they start having their wire ones for little kids, and I really like those for our girls because when they had those little clips, I would clip that on to the dress that it matched, and so I kind of like those, and they don't take up as much room, so those are nice too. But these are so cheap to get, you know, just to get a dollar to get everything organized and so that you can sort it and keep them all in order. And then if they're sharing closets, it's easy to see whose is whose and keep it on. Oh, the other thing was when you have clothing, we just did a thing where we had all of our winter clothes. We're downstairs, and if you have and I didn't always have room, but if you can designate any place, we have a basement, and so we have a tall rack on the left side and a tall rack on the right. Then we have a pole that goes straight across, and again, left to right is my husband, all the way down to Macy on this side, our five-year-old, and then we have that for our hang-up clothes. And then on the left side is all the men, and on the right side is the ladies. We're pretty close to balance. And we have laundry baskets, and it's really good if you can keep them open. If you seal stuff, that's when they get that smell. Of course, if it's a damp place, it's going to get it anyway, so you have to wash all that. But that's a lot of work, you know, to do that, and they can get damaged. But they have their own baskets, and I try and get different colors, you know, so that they can just know we write with a marker on that. And they have those for years, and then Monday, because it's clear, and I usually get ahead of things, but I've been too busy, but I'll get out and switch it all out, and now we're wearing winter clothes, and it's still hot. You know how you kind of get that little tease of, oh, it's cold, and you go and get your clothes. So it's kind of hard when it's changing, but clearly it's been too cold, and so everybody went and got all of their baskets. The way you do it is everybody goes and gets their baskets, put them in their room on their bed, then come back, get all your hang-up stuff, and lay them over that. Now everything's in there, and that whole place is cleared out, and then you go back 2 minutes. Then you go back into their room, and then you go through the hang-up stuff, and you see what is summer or what doesn't wear anymore. And you take that, and I make two piles. And I had Springfield giveaway, I had Hartville giveaway, more like farm stuff or if it's worn or whatever, because they just give their clothes away at the thrift store. So I bagged those, boxed these, and then the other stuff went back into their baskets. You take out all their stuff out of that, and then you start putting the summer things. If they're hang-up, they go downstairs hang-up. If they're in a drawer, then they go back in that basket. And you just swap it out. And then as you're getting the stuff that you put away, you know, and you're not sure about it, maybe you don't know how tall they're going to get. I got a lot of summer things that I just are iffy with, especially Macy. There's nobody to pass down to. And I don't pass it down if it's going to go I'll go 1 year in between, but that's it. If it's going to be more than that, just give it to somebody else. It's not worth saving it. But there were some that were questionable. So I decided to save them because I don't want to pass on summer stuff to you. You're going to have to store them. So I decided to keep them. And then next year, when we get the summer stuff out, we'll swap it. So everybody did that. And then with my boys, because they're all about the same size, they do a thing. Does anybody want a da-da-da-da-da? No? Yeah, let me try it on.